Blog Talk Radio.
The clock goes tick tock, your heartbeat tip up. You know there's something greater you're called to be. You shut tight your eyes and breathe in.
Welcome to Shapeshifting. I'm Lisa Bonnice, author of Shapeshifting, Reclaiming Your Perfect Body, and this show is about shifting the shape of your body and your life into one that is as authentic, incredible, and expansive as your imagination will allow, using the power of intention and by examining where science meets spirituality. And I personally lost 50 pounds and overcame some big health obstacles while writing the book, and members of Shapeshifters groups are seeing stunning results as well. And as such, I am simply ecstatic to be talking today to Lynn McTaggart, a woman who is doing such groundbreaking work that if I never did another one of these shows, I would feel satisfied that I at least brought the intention experiment to your attention. In the past, we've talked on this show about global healing meditations like Fire the Grid and other so-called lightworker meditation events, some of which were monitored by the Global Consciousness Project's computer. The Global Consciousness Project is a set of random event generators around the globe that measure the spikes in consciousness. Like, for example, during the 9/11 attacks, they measured a huge change in the consciousness of the world. And so that's the type of thing that we've talked about in the past. But what Lynn is doing with her intention experiment takes events like those to a measurable scientific level that I believe will actually transform our world into the one we're all hoping to create. And in fact, one might even consider the idea that all of the current turmoil, tragedy, and environmental emergencies were subconsciously created by us at this time for this specific purpose, to give mankind an undeniable and urgent reason to learn how to do this, to learn to focus our deliberate intent upon improving conditions for all of us, all one of us, that is. And in doing so, we will learn how to save our world from ourselves, and we will, in the meantime, evolve into the new human. And that's why I'm so excited about what Lynn is doing. She is, for lack of a better word, herding us, not hurting, but herding like a shepherd, herding us into joining forces on a global scale to break through to the other side of what we New Agers call the veil. And the beauty of Lynn's work is that it's pure science. While many of us are fine with our intuition and spiritual beliefs telling us that this is the way things work, a huge segment of the world's population demands scientific proof that intention actually has measurable effects. And that's what Lynn's work in both her book, The Field, and The Intention Experiment, supplies in an abundance. It's just study after study after study in these books. You wouldn't believe the huge number of studies that prove that focused intention does have an effect on life, and that we really are all connected, that our thoughts are creative things, and even when we don't know we're doing it, we're still causing ripple effects into our future and our past with something called retro-intention, which is one of the coolest things so far. She cites study after study after study, making her case, before moving into the real point of the book, The Actual Intention Experiment, wherein her readers are invited to sign up on her website at theintentionexperiment.com to actually participate in scientific experiments that measure the results, and those experiments are all designed to somehow improve the human condition. And Lynn will be here in just a few minutes. I'm waiting for her to call in, and we'll be taking your chat room questions and your calls at 646-716-8716. So hop on into the chat room. If you're not already there, I see a whole bunch of people already. Howdy, guys. Or get ready to call in, like I said, 646-716-8716. But before we move on, I want to make just a couple of quick announcements because, as you might know, that I just started doing a Monday night show in addition to the Wednesday night show or Wednesday afternoon show. The Monday night show is called Shapeshifting at Night. How's that for a sexy name? And be sure to tune in next Monday when my guest will be medical intuitive Candia Sanders. We'll be taking your calls to help you to get to the bottom of what's blocking you from your healthiest form. That's the point of the Monday night shows, is they won't be interviews. They will be with the best medical intuitives or psychics or whatever you want to call people that do this kind of thing to help you to actually figure out what type of mental and emotional blocks that you have, because, you know, you can work and work and work and try to get to the bottom of things, but sometimes there's things that just, they're either so obvious that you don't pay attention to them, or they're so hidden that you don't even know that they're there. And that's why it's kind of nice to have somebody who can read into your energy to help you to pull those things out into the open and shine some light on them. Next Monday, as I mentioned, Candia Sanders, medical intuitive. The following Monday will feature Curtis Foltz and his incredible chakra readings. And the week after that, I will be offering my own intuitive coaching for those wishing to shift their shapes into their best health and most balanced weight. And the Wednesday afternoon shows for the rest of the month feature Brent Kessel next week. He is the author of It's Not About the Money. That is a spiritual look at money consciousness. The following week, we will hear from Dr. Bruce Forcia, author of Unlocking the Healing Code. And finally, the last week in May, I'll be talking to Dr. Stuart Bitkoff, author of A Commuter's Guide to Enlightenment. And just so you don't have to try to remember all of that, you can always log on to shapeshiftingonline.com for more information on the radio show or how to join a shapeshifters group or to access any of the other helpful tools designed to get to the bottom of what's keeping you from your most incredible expression of self. And I will have to admit to you folks that I'm getting a little nervous. If you were listening in last week when Debbie Ford didn't make it to the show, I'm having feelings of deja vu. Lynn has not called in yet, and that's the fun part of live radio. So we'll just go ahead and wing it for a little while here. One of the things that I do want to talk to Lynn about when she's here is, as I mentioned earlier, retro intention. When I read this in her book, basically what retro intention is, it's the ability to change the past. Yes, scientifically proven, we can change the past through our intention. There were various experiments that she cited where the scientists would set up sound files where you would the listener would change the number of clicks in their right or left ear and through intention. But then they redid the experiment years later and had the same process going. And then when they measured the results, there actually were differences. So we can, through focused intent, change our past. And this is something that I've played with for a long time, not necessarily in this form. This is just my intuition that tells me to do this. The way that I stumbled upon this was many, many, many years ago, 20-some years ago, I was sitting at my desk typing late at night, nobody home, very quiet, and all of a sudden I saw somebody in the doorway of my room, and there wasn't supposed to be anybody there because, as I mentioned, I was alone in the house. And it scared the crap out of me looking up there. And then as I looked up, I saw it was me. And then as soon as I saw me, pop, I was gone. And I have to admit that it really did. It scared the shit out of me. And for years, I didn't really know what that meant. But then a few years later, actually, fairly recently, I was having a lucid dream type meditation where I actually experienced myself going back into time and standing in that doorway looking at my young self. And my purpose, my reason for doing that was to give myself encouragement because I was going through a very difficult time of life, and basically I was trying to send the message, everything's fine, you're going to be okay. Unfortunately, the younger me didn't get that message. The younger me just got scared. But the fact remains that that taught me a very powerful lesson in time and the meaningless of it, that time means nothing. So what I now use as a manifestation intention tool with regard to my own shape-shifting, with creating the life that I choose to live and create, what I do is I know that there are endless numbers of parallel possible me's out there. There are so many different possible futures for all of us. With every decision, every major decision that we make, we create a different possible future. And when you look at the quantum physics level, there are infinite numbers of possible lives, all layered upon and interconnected with each other. So what I choose to do is to send my consciousness forward into the future that I wish to be a part of. That would be successful, healthy, and whatever other types of things that I see as my most exciting future. And I connect to my future self and ask that future self to send me signposts, guideposts, guidance of some sort. Let me know, how do I get from where I am to where you are? And when I pay attention, I'll start seeing guideposts and I start following that path. It's almost like throwing a lifeline from the future to me now, and just hang on to that and follow that path. So that's what the way that I look at retro intention. It's one of the most powerful tools that I've ever discovered. And you know what? It's already, it's 1:11 here. Curtis is saying, do you want a call-in conversation to fill time? You know what, Curtis? Go ahead and call me in, because honestly, I don't know if Lynn's going to make it or not. She's calling from England, so God only knows what could be happening. I mean, we've got turmoil all over the world, and I don't see Lynn as being the kind of person who doesn't show up, especially since I've confirmed this like 1,000 times since last week's mess up with Debbie Ford's show. So yes, Curtis, call me, 646-716-8716. That would be fun. In the meantime, let's see, what else do we have we can talk about here? I mentioned briefly the Monday night shows. I want to go into that just a little bit more. We had Glenna Dietrich on the show last week. Heck, it was 2 nights ago. My God, time is flying so fast. And she did some just amazing readings for people that help them to, as I mentioned, get to the bottom of what's keeping them from their best health. And I'm really looking forward to these Monday night shows, because I think that they will help us to really get back into what shape-shifting is all about. And that's something that I'm very, very excited about. In fact, Curtis, who I'm waiting to call, I'm wondering if maybe the switchboard's not working, if Curtis hasn't gotten through yet. Very strange. Anyway, Curtis is going to be on the show because he does these incredible chakra readings, and he's also offered as sort of an experiment. We have a shapeshifters group on Yahoo, and there are several people who are actually very, very active in the group. There's a lot of lurkers, but, you know, you get that with any group. A lot of the people who are a big part of it are seeing. One man has lost 25 pounds since, I believe, November. One of the women has lost 10 pounds in just 1 month. And, I mean, it's not just about weight. We're not gimmicky and, ooh, you got to get skinny. It's about getting healthy, too. So that's a big part of the thing as well. So anyway, Curtis has been doing guinea pig readings for the members of our group to find out if he can help them to do the same thing. And he's been having just amazing results as well. So I'm very, very grateful for Curtis to be a big part of that. And I do see his number on there. Hi, Curtis. How are you?
Hey, Lisa. Sorry it took so long.
Okay.
I'm doing great. No, it's just that I am at the library and had to walk across the room and get into a private room to call you without getting kicked out.
Well, you know, you're supposed to be quiet in the library, so we'll just have to keep the conversation down, huh?
No, I don't have to worry about that now. I'm in a study room. We can talk.
Okay. You know what? Let's tap into your... do you have your psychic hat on by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Tell me what's up with Lynn McTaggart not calling in. Are you getting anything? What's going on?
I did call on RIL, and I asked him, please let her know to call in, and he said she doesn't have the number. I don't know if she lost it, can't access, or what. I asked him to help her find the number and call in, but that's what I got.
I'll be darned.
For whatever reason, the phone number seems to have gone out of her possession.
Okay, well, then let me go ahead and email that to her as we're talking, because, like I said, I've been in conversation with her her assistant, a very helpful guy, over the last week or so, and I know that he does have the number, but I wonder if somehow Lynn lost it. Maybe her computer crashed. I know one of the stories that she tells in her book is about being one of those energy gremlins. Do you know anybody like that? That, you know, when they walk past computers, they just blow up. she's one of those people apparently. So who knows? Maybe that's what's going on here. Let me go ahead and type this while we're talking here. Go ahead and talk, Curtis, while I'm typing here.
Okay. I'm looking in here in the chat room, and people are talking about Reiki. Chris Oldham says Reiki is used to heal the past, but you're right, it's all about intention. Piers the Cat asks, isn't Reiki intended? And Chris says, yes, but it's not the only form of intention that can work. Okay, well, they got that figured out. They don't need any professional opinions. They've probably got professional opinions of their own. Yeah, Reiki is nothing more or less than intended energy. It's just got a really pretty Japanese name and a technique that makes it more tangible. And I really think that's what we need, is more ways of making energy awareness and energy use tangible and conscious. And I've noticed a lot of people whose psychic development is increasing is they've had Reiki attunements. And it does help. It really awakened me. My first degree of Reiki, all of a sudden I was communing with discarnate spirits and helping them to find their way where they needed to go, and sometimes even hosting them in my body, which scares the devil out of some people. But if you know what you're doing, it can work. And if you don't know what you're doing, it can hurt. And I've done it from both places, and it's been great and horrible.
Right. Well,
got that email, Ken, dear?
Yes, I do. It's a matter of sending your intention, that if you are going to be doing this kind of work, something that might get scary or has the possibility of getting scary, set your intention before you do anything, because once you set your intent, that's it. There's no getting through that, as long as you know how to set your intent. I mean, another thing that she talks about in the book is the effect of prayer, how sometimes prayer can be very beneficial for people, but then in other times, in other studies, prayer has actually harmed people. And I personally believe that this is sort of what people were doing with the various Fire the Grid intentions. When they're setting their intentions to save the world or to pray for world peace, I think a lot of people are doing it from a place of fear, where they're like almost, oh, please, please, please save the world. Oh, please make it stop. Please make the bad guys go away. And what they're doing is they're actually giving power to the idea that there's something bad, instead of setting the intent that it's all good.
Yeah, what the universe is hearing is, oh, please, please, please thing I do not want to happen. Oh, please, please, please thing I do not want to happen. And so that's what you're focusing on. And the universe says, yes, my beloved, you may have the thing you do not want to happen.
Because that's what you're calling on. That's the energy that you're feeding. So
the church that I belong to, Science of Mind Church, one of the things I really appreciated, people stand up at the end of the service and they ask for certain people to be prayed for. Well, sometimes they'll come in with a request from that person, please ask your church to pray for my healing along these lines, at which point that's exactly what's done. But sometimes the person just comes in and says, so-and-so is having this problem, can we pray for their healing? And because they did not specifically request it, all we are allowed to do is pray for their highest good and trust that that's appropriate.
Right.
And I think that is probably one of the most responsible ways to handle prayer.
Right. Because their highest good might actually be dying. I know that those who are not in their skin can't begin to comprehend how can their highest good be death. But we don't know. we have no idea what their soul's purpose is and what they're doing and what they're trying to. Perhaps their death is actually going to serve the highest good by causing some new knowing that didn't exist before. We have no way of knowing what somebody else's highest good is.
And it's so difficult for us to let go of our fear of the unknown. Even those of us who have made friends with death and work with it on a regular basis, and I do, still I miss people who die. I went to a friend's funeral the other day, 79 years old, lived a very full life, and I sat there bawling my eyes out, not worried for her, I miss her. And, you know, you can't totally let go of your fear of death whenever you think about the fact that I'm going to miss them. I'm going to be selfish here. I'm going to miss them. Yes, I'm happy she's in a better place. But that makes it really difficult to accept. Okay, her highest good is going to make me miss her for the rest of my life.
Right.
That takes a real self-evaluation to get to.
Yeah, it really does.
Even when you're comfortable with your own death.
Sure. And when you're talking, you know, like just having a conversation like this where there's no energetic charge, it's real easy to say, oh, yeah, you know, death is just transition. It's just moving from one state to the other. But when you actually have somebody you love transition, yeah, it's not so easy. I mean, you know that I just had a very, very close family member die about a month or so ago. And even though I feel his presence on a daily basis, I feel him more now than I ever did while he was alive. Well, because he lived across the country, and you know, now he's always here. That doesn't mean that, you know, there's not a lot of heartbreak going on, and that the family isn't just, you know, devastated by this loss. So
now your phone doesn't have roaming minutes to the other side, unfortunately. So you can't just call him and say, hey.
Yes, but does it have minutes to go to England to tell Lynn McTaggart to call?
Yes, it does. Hey, I'm seeing one here in the chat. Chris Oldham is saying, Reiki Atuma has helped me release some big blocks and lose weight faster. I had two big breakthroughs in the space of a week and lost a full pant size at the same time. Now, there is a shape-shifting story.
Absolutely. It certainly is. Wow, that's fantastic. That's exactly what shape-shifting is about. It's about changing your consciousness, changing your mind, and changing your body as a result. It's not about trying to go on a diet and limit your foods and suffer and torture and kick yourself because you're fat. It's to change your consciousness, and your body becomes healthier as a result. And if you need to lose weight, then you do, just as a natural part of it. So,
one of the
yeah,
most...
And Chris, go ahead.
One of the most beautiful things I think about Reiki attunements and the Reiki study process is anybody who goes through that does it because they want to be a healer, because they want to help, because they want to serve. It is a love-based motivation. So
right.
Self-empowerment is a natural part of that, where oftentimes we get into various metaphysical trainings, which can work very well, but our intention is all about, I'm going to do this so I can get rid of these bad things in my life. And with Reiki, it's, I'm going to do this so I can serve and help and heal.
Right, right.
And it's all about the intention again.
Yeah.
They got that part right in Reiki. They really did.
Yeah. I know, I got, I've got the three attunements, the whole master teacher thing. And I know that I have mixed feelings about the necessity for attunements. I mean, on one hand, I think that they're really necessary because that without them, I think a part of us doesn't believe that we have the ability to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that at a much deeper level, the attunements themselves aren't necessary because this is something that we all have access to. That's part of our birthright as humans, you know, expanded beings in a human suit. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I pretty much concur with you. I have received many attunements. I've given many attunements. And, of course, when you give a Reiki attunement, you get one at the same time. And there is a 21-day cleansing period. There is a heightened emotional and spiritual sensitivity that goes with it, often a heightened mental sensitivity. You can find yourself intellectually stimulated as much as you can spiritually and emotionally. And anybody who's had Reiki attunements can tell you about physical manifestations. Now,
right.
Yes, you're right. All it's doing is awakening us to what's already going on inside, what we've already got, what's part of our DNA. But I feel that it's useful or potentially useful. Each person has to decide for themselves by virtue of the fact that it makes us a little more sensitive to these things that are in us so we know what to pay attention to. And whereas in the normal physical 3D world that we are accustomed to, we'll have an intuitive hit and go, okay, that was a stray thought, and blow it off. After you've experienced the 21-day process with a Reiki attunement, you'll have an intuitive hit and go, okay, my body is responding to this in specific ways, and it feels like there's a real important thing for me to pay attention to, and you'll respond to it differently. The information is the same. Your sensitivity is the same, but your conscious awareness has been attuned.
Right.
So that, in my opinion, is the value of an attunement.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that it's just basically a tool to open up a certain part in our brain to allow for the possibility that this is real. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at least that's how it works in my life, because I'm almost so skeptical that it does harm sometimes, you know, that I find it really hard to believe that this stuff is true unless I see, you know, I mean, I might as well be from Missouri, the show me state. You know, you better prove this to me. Otherwise,
absolutely.
I'm going to be, yeah, so that's where I think that the actual attunements come in.
I did a channeling the other day about changing your perspective on a situation and choosing a better frame of mind when you're in a bad frame of mind. And one of the things that Oriel talked about was, if you're in a terrible place and you just don't see your way out of that terrible state of mind, and you know it's destructive, but you feel helpless in the face of it, visualize your hand reaching out and grabbing God by the shirt front and pulling him down nose to nose with you and saying, fix this, and do it aggressively. And cuss if you need to, because they even teach in the most conservative churches that God already knows what's in your heart. And as far as I'm concerned, you're grabbing yourself by the shirt front when you say that. So there's nothing wrong with the skepticism, you know? Grab God by the shirt collar, pull him down, and say, prove it. Every time I do readings, without exception, I always pray for validation beforehand. I need to know I'm serving. Otherwise, what's my point in doing it?
Right. Otherwise, you're just stroking your own ego, calling yourself a psychic.
Which, yeah, my ego likes that, but if I'm not doing any good, so what?
Right, exactly. Exactly. You might as well be on a 900 number calling yourself Miss Cleo. Did I say
there
that?
There you go. $9.99 a minute. I'll keep you on as long as I can.
Yeah, yeah. I'll talk very slowly.
May I do a quick commercial?
Sure.
Soul 411.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I was talking with John Hodge yesterday about Soul 411, and that's one of the things that he very much, he feels very strongly about, and I do too, this charging per minute garbage for readings. He said there's no way that a person can do that honestly, because your motivation is not to help them, your motivation is to make money. And
right.
If you do a flat-out fee, when you charge, just, okay, here's what I charge, we're going to go until we're done. That is the honest way to do it. And I really appreciated that about John. And I've been the last few weeks and months through Blog Talk, through you, and through selfgrowth.com, I'm starting to meet psychics who have this perspective. Yes, I deserve to be compensated for my skill and my ability and my willingness and my time, but I also am responsible to keep it at a certain place so that it's honorable and it's about service.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah. Soul 411 is one of my favorite new things. John, for those of you who are just hearing this for the first time, John Hodge used to host a show called Think Again Radio, so he's already very like-minded, and he has, through the process of doing this show, interviewed just endless numbers of people with psychic gifts, psychic abilities, and so he's gathered up his favorites and has built a web page so that it's easy to find somebody who has been tested for integrity and ability, talent, etc. And Curtis just joined that grouping. What was it, just yesterday?
Yeah, actually, I'm not officially on his site yet, but I have now been approved. He liked my reading, and we'll be doing that here in the next few days. And I'm in there with Renata Adair and Lucia Reed, some really high-energy, talented people. Glenna, who was doing readings on your night show the other night, and she's an amazingly gifted woman herself. So I feel like I'm in very good company.
Yeah, you absolutely are. It's wonderful the way that this is all working out.
There is a quote here on your chat, Piers the Cat put, and I love this, step boldly before the throne of grace. That's beautiful. That's powerful.
What does that mean to you? What's it saying to you?
Well, to me, what that means is we have been encouraged to be submissive when we talk to God. And what I'm getting from this is be yourself, be proud, be humble, but don't be humiliated. Stand up and say, here I am, God, you created me, ain't I grand?
That's nice.
My take on it. I also want to point out something to you, Lisa. I mean, I know you're sitting there. I've done the shows, so I understand. You're sitting there going, I told people Lynn would call. She's not calling. They've got to be getting frustrated. I'm scared. I'm frustrated. This is nervous-making. You got 14 people in chat, and I'm not seeing anybody leaving, and I'm not seeing anybody complaining in your chat. So apparently you put on a pretty respectable show even when the guest doesn't show up. Pat yourself on the back for that.
Well, thanks, and thank you for calling because otherwise I'd just be doing one of those free flow things, which are fun. I do enjoy doing the free flows. It's just usually when I'm doing a free flow show, I intended it in advance, and I've been giving thought to what I want to talk about for like a week in advance. And so when something like this happens and I'm caught by the short hairs, you know, it's like, okay, well, what do we talk about today? So I am grateful for you for calling in. This is very helpful.
Especially since we always have
great conversations.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's almost like we were born to talk. A couple of big mouths at your service, world.
Well, because, you know, if we weren't on this show together, we'd be on the phone with each other right now anyway. So.
That's true. Yeah, we'd be solving the world's problems even if it was nobody else listening.
That's right.
Uh-oh. Angel Truth Seeker just asked if I got their email, and I don't remember getting their email. So, Angel, if you want to send me a message through Blog Talk, that might be the best way. I'm sorry. So, anyway, thank you. I just saw that in chat. I thought I better address that. Thank you.
Speaking of which, you just did your show last night, right? And
yes.
You're going to start now doing two-hour shows, correct?
Yeah. I had 8 people trying to call in, and I could only do 2 readings in an hour. And I had 15 people on there. And I need to expand it out. I want to make sure there's room for people to actually believe they've got a real chance of getting a reading. Yes, it's a commercial for my professional readings, but at the same time, I don't want to have people calling in going, oh, it's not worth calling because there are too many people in line. That doesn't serve at all. And I'm not going to compromise the quality of a reading.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, because you do actually give a lot of time to it. You don't just, you know, do a quick, you know, 3-minute thing and then move on to the next person. So.
I've thought about doing spot readings on the show, and it just, nobody wants a spot reading. Once I get them, they want the full thing, and okay, I prefer it myself.
Although, the spot readings, that's what I was talking about before you called in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you were doing for the Shapeshifters group members. Let's plug in Shapeshifters group.
Absolutely.
You have a Yahoo group going on right now, and interesting conversation. As I mentioned, there's a whole boatload of lurkers who don't participate, but there are some people who are really very, very involved in this, and we have a weekly phone call where I actually host the call and people call in, and we have a Shapeshifters group meeting using the workbook format, and it's just going incredibly well. But anyway, what I was getting at is that Curtis has been offering spot readings to members of the group to sort of practice up for his appearance on the Monday night show on the 19th, and it's just been amazing, the results. The people that they've been sending me emails, you know, you're not even necessarily knowing that they're writing to me saying, you know, I had this reading with Curtis, and oh my God. So, yeah, it's working really, really well.
I'm feeling really, really blessed.
Yeah, well, there's also stuff in the chat room here. Jer, how you doing? He's recommending them. Angel Truth Seeker had one, says awesome. So this is going to be the Curtis Fultz show today.
Well, I'm hoping, pulling it back over to Shapeshifters a little bit here, I'm hoping that we can put together, and we need input from your members. I'm going to have to put out, I put out a teaser message, but I'm going to have to put out something more specific. I want to see if the readings can help people maintain their focus, maintain their clarity, and keep moving forward in their shape-shifting process. So I'm wondering about setting up a 3-month experiment where people get, the guinea pigs will get a free spot reading like 1 a week or I don't know how often, maybe every couple of weeks, whatever feels right, and we'll play with that. And I'm going to need some input from all of your people on how to structure that experiment so we can figure out the best way to approach it. You and I need to sit down and talk about the exact results we're looking for and the information we're trying to glean from it and go from there.
Right, right. And aren't you finding, too, that when you're doing one of these spot readings that are not only blowing people's minds but actually really helping them, that you're not really getting any information about their food, are you?
Not yet.
Which is just proving even more that, you know, of course you need to eat healthy and be conscious of what you're putting in your mouth, but that's not the issue. That's not what we're talking about with shape-shifting. This isn't diet. This isn't a weight loss program. This isn't some gimmick where you take a pill that makes you jittery and throw up and that's how you lose the weight. It's because you're being more authentic and connected at a soul level, and that's what the readings are about, is to help you to figure out what's keeping me from that.
You know what I would like to see, and if you want to change this because it's your program, then you're going to have to just step in and say, no, Curtis, I do not want that to be a part of shape-shifting, and cancel it out, because I'm putting a call to the universe right now. I feel this confident about it. Everybody I know of that's on shape-shifting right now, including me, tends to gain weight easier than lose weight. I want to put the call out to the universe that we get some people who want to put on some weight so they can create a healthier self and a healthier self-image with a bigger body. I want to see both, because I know that this is about your healthiest body. It's not just a weight loss program. That's the most common issue.
Right.
But I think it would balance out to have some people coming in there going, okay, cool, now I'm looking to put on 20 pounds because I need it to be healthier.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. In fact, I mentioned that very briefly in the book, that this isn't, again, it's not about losing weight, it's about getting healthy. And the reason that it comes off as a weight loss book is because that's what I personally was doing while I was discovering this process. While I was doing all this research, what brought me to this study, this field of study, is that I personally needed to lose a whole boatload of weight. So, what I learned is that my body's condition is a teaching tool for me, whether it's illness, too much weight, too little weight, whatever it is that I am not in balance with is a teaching tool to force me, as it were, to look at what is it, what? Because the body is the representation of what's going on in your mind. So yeah, absolutely. If there's somebody who needs to gain weight, or needs to, you know, that's not a good word, would like to gain weight as part of balancing themselves out, absolutely they're welcome to join in. Absolutely.
I've been noticing, you know, what's been going on in my personal life the past month or so since I moved back to my hometown. And I noticed the first month I was here, I gained 7 pounds. And I'm one of the people who doesn't want to gain any more weight. I don't need to gain it. I don't particularly care if I lose it, but I don't want to gain it. And I gained 7 pounds over the past month. And, you know, it's pretty obvious looking back why. I mean, with the emotional stuff that was going on, I was out of balance on a few issues, and I needed to pull back in and regroup. And now that I have been regrouping and standing up for myself, which is what it really boiled down to, first of all, I've noticed I've dropped 3 pounds in 2 days.
Huh.
And second of all, I noticed that the office that I work in as a realtor, about 4 days a week, somebody brings in very high-sugar, high-fat goodies, and they usually bring in high-quality ones. And today I walked into the office, and some of the best donuts available in this town were sitting on the table, and I looked at them and thought, I don't even want one. There was no guilt. There was nothing. It was just like, wow, I don't want one of the best donuts I've ever laid eyes on.
Wow.
So, and I know exactly what it is. It's a comfort food, and I didn't need the comfort because I'm standing up for myself, being true to myself.
Very good. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. You know, as you were talking about gaining weight, it's funny how we've noticed this many times before, that you and I are often on parallel paths. Even though our stories are completely different, we have the exact same things going on. I've gained about 8 pounds, not this recently, but like last month, I just all of a sudden gained 8 pounds, and I hadn't changed my eating at all. So I've learned that food intake has very little to do with it. But the way that I liken this, the gaining of weight, is almost like pulling a bow back. You know, like you've got a bow and arrow, and when you gain this weight, it's almost like getting a running start. You're pulling this bow back, and you're getting ready to shoot this arrow. It's almost like a burst of speed, a burst of fuel, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think you you actually mentioned to me in my spot reading that you thought that the reason that I had gained this weight is to how did you word it? Let me see. I've got my notes here.
I don't remember. I'm good at not remembering.
Yeah, I find that with most people who do readings, they don't remember what they said. You said that I am storing energy for the explosion that is about to happen this month. So something huge is coming about this month. Obviously, it's not Lynn McTaggart being on my show, but it's something else that I'm saving up for. But I know that lately I'm feeling really, really energized and really excited about the future and back on track again. I mean, sometimes we do need to get back into the pit in order to have a reason to climb out again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much true. There's a very short 5-verse poem that I read on a counselor's door one time I'd like to share briefly.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to paraphrase it. I was walking down the street one day, and I saw this big hole in the street. Suddenly, I was in the hole. I don't know how I got there. It wasn't my fault. I certainly didn't choose it. I kicked, and I screamed, and I whined, and I fought, and I scrabbled, and I finally got out of that hole, and I was exhausted. I was walking down the same street one day, and there was that same hole, and I was in it again, and I don't know how in the world it happened. It certainly wasn't my fault. I would never choose to do anything like that. And I fought my butt off, but I finally got out exhausted. I was walking down the same street one day, and I saw the same hole. I stepped in it. It was my choice. I stepped out. I was walking down the same street one day, and I saw the same hole. I walked around it. I was walking down a different street one day.
And the moral to the story is? What is the definition of sanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome?
Yeah, only my moral of the story went to Roseanne, Roseanne, Dana. It's always something. Now, what do we do about something?
Yeah.
That's the key. What do we do about the something that it always is? I had to talk to my 8-year-old niece last night, who was just in a terrible state. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Mama won't buy me new blue jeans." I said, "Well, do you need them?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Do you need them or do you want them?" She said, "I need them. I can't go to school without them." "Okay. Do you always act like this when you don't get what you want?" "Yes." "Do you ever get what you want when you act like this?" "Never." "Well, which do you want?" And we talked a little bit about how you respond when things aren't the way you want them. And she was really surprised to find out even the President of the United States doesn't always get his way.
You wouldn't know it, though, would you?
Well, you know, this one may be an exception. But I'm not telling her that. We're not talking politics to an 8-year-old. We're just trying to convince her that temper tantrums and pouting don't work.
Uh-huh.
It's what you do in response to "it's always something."
Right. Well, yeah, look at this week, for example, and last week, Debbie Ford was scheduled to be on the show, and that show was, I can't even use the bad word that I would like to use to describe what happened, but everything that could go wrong did. There was no way on earth that show was going to happen, and there was no way to repair it. And the same thing with today. I mean, not only have I been really promoting this show, I've really been looking forward to talking to Lynn McTaggart because her work is just so wow. It blows your mind. So I could be all, pissing and moaning because I'm in this hole and what's happening and why is this happening? I never would have been. But instead, I've fortunately learned as part of my life experience that, you got to be zen about this kind of stuff. It is what it is, and this is what's happened, and the making lemonade out of lemons, that type of thing. You have to make the best out of whatever it is because it's all happened for a reason. And the mystery of this one in particular is that this last week with the Debbie Ford show, her book basically is about sabotaging yourself. So I was forced to look at, okay, well, did I sabotage myself? How does this relate? And Lynn's book is about intention, about creating things with the intention of your thoughts and all that. And my intentions this week were absolutely right on target that this was going to go wonderfully, and I was looking forward to it. So I'm not quite sure yet where this is going, but I'm certainly fascinated to find out what's going on here.
Well, it's not going the way you expected or wanted it to go, but you got to admit, we're having a good time and the listeners are sticking around, so.
Yeah.
Apparently somebody is being served by this. Mm-hmm. I certainly hope so.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, I have a feeling that there are going to be some significant redefinitions of expectations and some real reworking. I don't have a clue here what you're going to do, Lisa, but I know you well enough, and I also trust my intuition well enough to know that shapeshifting on Blog Talk is about to shift shape big time. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to make some changes, and it's going to be worth paying attention to.
Well, thanks. I actually feel the same thing. I really, really do. And it's not my ego saying, oh, it's going to be great. I have a very powerful knowingness that there's, I think it started with doing the Monday night shows. I think it started with actually turning it back into serving people who are interested in shape-shifting, because even though the Wednesday afternoon shows, they're fascinating, they're wonderful, we learn a lot from all the people that I interview, but the show's not about shape-shifting anymore. So the Monday night shows are bringing it back to the people who are interested in what I do, in what my work is. So I think that's probably what's happening here, and I'm definitely feeling a very strong energy stream that I've tapped into with the Monday night show.
Talk about energy extreme. Look at what Peekaboo just put on chat. Have to run to an appointment. Love your show because of you. We'll hear Lynn another day.
Well, thank you, Peek. That's very sweet of you.
Well,
thank you. Thank you. Oh, and Monica says, but we love Curtis too.
I know. Oh, shucks. Thank you. I was going to be modest, but you caught my little hint. Say that.
And Chris actually says, it makes a good point, we can talk about how intention works with or without Lynn. And I know Chris from the Powerful Intentions site. She's part of the, what is your other site? It's the Healthful Intention? Is that what it's called? I'll wait for her to respond to that. But there's a Powerful Intentions group on, I think it's called Ning, N-I-N-G, do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay,
Yeah. In fact, you're a part of it.
Yeah.
That's where I know Chris from. And that's a really great place, too. Powerful Intentions, it's basically the same type of work where you are intending what you intend to create. And it's a gathering place for people who understand how this works and who want to combine their energies with those of others and to work toward creating, you know, a more perfect world, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you mentioned Lynn McTaggart's Intention Experiment website earlier, and I went ahead and got on there and signed up for the next experiment. I'm curious.
Yeah, like although one thing, though, in order to participate in her experiment, you have to read the book.
That could be an issue. I'll have to buy the book then.
Yeah. Yes, you will.
Yeah.
Because what they'll do is your password, in order to get into the site, they're going to ask you what is, like, the third word in the fifth paragraph on page 72 of this edition of the book or whatever it is. So you actually have to have the book, which, actually, I listen to the book on audio. I have the book and I listen to audio. So if you just got it on audio, you might be screwed. But I don't know. Maybe they'll figure out some way to, you know, what's the word at 1 minute and 11 seconds in the book. But yeah,
I got it.
Reason she's doing that is because she wants to make sure that the people who are participating truly understand what they're doing, because she not only explains all of the research that she's found over the course of all of these years, she also talks about how to, because she has learned over the years that some people are better at the intention process and at healing and doing all of these things than other people. Not because they're, you know, one person is better than the other, but because one person has actually trained themselves to really be very focused and very filled with intention. So what part of this process is to tell you, okay, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it specifically, because she's doing it very scientifically. This isn't just like where you and I do the readings in the group, where, you know, all I have to do is get feedback from somebody saying Curtis rocks and woohoo, but, you know, they're actually measuring things with scientific controls, and they're working with cleaning up water, you know, cleaning up polluted water, and making plants grow. And one of the experiments one of the first experiments they did was to work on a form of algae that's in the world's oceans. And when she was when they first suggested that she do this, she was kind of bummed out, because what she really wanted to do was something, you know, really amazing, like save the world. And, you know, they're telling her, well, let's work on some algae. And what she realized was that the condition of this algae was dependent on the temperature of the water. So while the waters of the world are warming, this algae is dying. So by doing this initial experiment, they are actually just starting to take the very first baby steps into affecting the planet. That's what I love so much about what her work is she's not just trying to prove this can be done, because it's already been proven that it can be done. She's easing us into doing it, actually becoming the new human that we're in the process of doing. So, there.
Well, I got to say that, first of all, she is a brilliant author and scientist. The minister in our church used her book, The Field, for his March sermons, and very inspiring work, and fits perfectly with everything else they teach in Science of Mind, which is basically law of attraction. And at the same time, I got to say that's some brilliant marketing, too. And as a salesman and a person who strives to build his enlightened space every day, cool, it's a balance I like. She has every right to make a good living, and the work she's doing, she has every right to be compensated well for. As a matter of fact, I'm downright proud of her.
Well, she's been around forever. She actually is one of the editors of the pretty famous newsletter, What Doctors Don't Tell You. So she's been around for many. I didn't even really know that until I was looking at her information. One of her bios says that both Burton Goldberg and Deborah Ray call her newsletter something, something, something. Let me find it here. I guess it doesn't really matter. The fact is that I have both worked for both Burton Goldberg and Deborah Ray. So we know a lot of the same people. So there you have it. We have 8 minutes remaining, 7 minutes remaining, and apparently this one just isn't going to happen. So I'm going to keep babbling for 7 minutes. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I was looking here on the chat, and frankly, I'm not seeing anything else on there except more adoration, which, thanks, guys, we love you, too. I don't know what else to say there. Oh, it really feels like things are connecting. It really feels like it's coming together.
Yeah.
It's just an exciting, exciting time. I'm seeing so many people looking forward, and I'm seeing attitude changes that are very beneficial. And maybe it's because I'm looking for them. But people who look at their world and talk about what all is wrong and how, oh, yeah, fine, these 8 things I wanted to happen did, but look at these 2 things that didn't, and they focus on those 2 things, I'm not seeing so many of those people. I've consciously chosen to get them out of my life, and it's happening. And unfortunately, I ended up ending some old friendships over it, which I didn't want to do, but circumstances and interactions kind of forced it. But I'm really finding myself surrounded by people who go, wow, I had these 10 things I wanted to happen, and 8 of them did. I am so impressed. This is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And even Karen Bishop's recent energy alert is saying that as of May 5th, which was Monday, something broke free, and
from Mexico, from France. Oh, sorry.
I forgot about this. This was kind of fun. I had another, you know, for the Monday night shows, I talked to all these various readers and intuitives in advance to make sure that, you know, they get what I'm looking for. And I talked to one yesterday who was telling me that, you know, the first Monday night show was May 5th, and she said that I could not have picked a better day to start the new show if I tried, mm-hmm. because not only was it a new moon, it's also new moon, and new moon is good for new beginnings, and mm-hmm. it's my moon is in Taurus in my chart, and now the moon is in Taurus, or this is a Taurus moon, and there are a whole bunch of other things in my chart specifically that say that this day, May 5th, was the absolute best day to begin this new thing. So I'm really, really excited about just the energy that's running right now. And I mean, I'm aware that things run in cycles. Who knows what's gonna happen in the future? But I'm looking forward to some new fun stuff. Amazing things are in the offing.
But the neat thing is, when those cycles turn around and you come to the other side of the cycle and you look at what's going on and you're not particularly as pleased with it as you are in this moment, you can now consciously choose a different reaction to those things,
right.
and take a lot of the power right out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually part of the whole retro intention, though, changing the past. We can change our past. It's like inner child work, in essence, is what you're doing. When you go back into an energetically, emotionally charged event in your life, and you either decide to look at it from a different perspective instead of being the wounded victim going, you know what, okay, well, that's the way I reacted to it then, but now as an adult, as a mature being, I can say, okay, well, this is how this really happened, and you can see the adult, you know, if there was an adult hurting you as a child, you can see them in different light, and so by removing that energetic charge, you actually did change the past because now you are a different person. Your energy is completely different. So, wow, look at that. Curtis just got bumped off the thing. I guess the show is over, folks. We've got 4 minutes left, so let me just wrap up here real quick. Once again, even though Lynn didn't make it to the show today, please read her book. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece of writing, theintentionexperiment.com. That's the address for her website and for her experiment. Also, if you want to learn more about shapeshifting, if you turned in just to hear about Lynn but have heard me talking instead, go to shapeshiftingonline.com. You can pick up a copy of my book. The e-book is available. There's a workbook. There's the Yahoo group. There's interviews on there with me being on the Lightworker TV show, various radio shows and TV interviews that I've done, so you can hear more about what I actually do as opposed to just interviewing other people. Let's see, anything else we need to know about? As I mentioned, the Monday night shows are at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Call in for readings. Again, this is not gimmicky weight loss kind of, ooh, what's keeping me fat? This is we're working here. We're actually doing something. We're going to have medical intuitives, the best readers. I'll be offering intuitive coaching Monday nights, 10 p.m., Wednesday shows next week, Brent Kessel, It's Not About the Money. Following Bruce Forcia, Unlocking the Healing Code. Then we've got Stuart Bitkoff, A Commuter's Guide to Enlightenment. And then in June, coming up, we've got Jonathan Goldman with Healing Sounds. So keep your eye open for that. That's a month away, so we'll get into that. And then in August, Eric Pearl of The Reconnection coming up. Lots of good things. Hopefully they'll call in. I won't end up talking for the entire hour. Thank you guys in the chat room for being there, and thank you, Curtis, for calling in. Really, you've been a good friend and a big help, and I appreciate you always. I think that probably just about wraps it all up. Do I have anything else I need to say? I guess I really don't, other than hang in there with shapeshifting and let's get to the bottom of what's keeping you from your perfect body. I will talk to you very, very soon. Thanks once again for listening in. Bye-bye.